got it better than us.
No way!
Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Ben, we talked about what a monster week that this is in the Utah sports landscape. BYU hires a head coach. Danny Ainge does his remarks wrapping up the NBA season. And, oh yeah, this community might be getting an NHL team. Joining us now to talk about it.
That little detail.
He's an insider for KSLSports.com and the Puck Report podcast. The one and only Jay Stevens. Jay, thanks for joining us, man.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I love being on the air here.
I have to do this a lot because nobody knows who I am, Jay, because I'm new in this business, and I've been doing it for 10 years. So let me ask you who you are, because if people haven't heard you, this is the first time you've been on our show.
Okay.
Who you are, what your background is, how you got into hockey.
Yeah, I'm a local guy. Lucky enough to just, it's funny, I was actually a skateboarder. And the guy that had the half pipe, his dad was the local high school hockey coach. And so if I wanted to skateboard on their half pipe, I also had to play shinny hockey or street hockey. Huh. And then next thing I knew, I was playing high school hockey, and I moved away and played a little bit in Minnesota, then in North Dakota. And I just kept chasing the game. Everywhere somebody would let me play, I would play. And then I ended up spending the last 25, 26 years as the emergency backup goalie for the Utah Grizzlies. I played at Weber State, played college in North Dakota as well. So, and then for 8 years now, I've been hosting the Utah Puck Report here and letting the people of Utah share their stories about hockey. We've had some amazing stories. A lot of people, you know, make the NHL back in the day. People didn't know here that, you know, Steve Konowalczyk spent 17 years in the NHL, and he's born and bred in Salt Lake City.
Awesome.
No, yeah, we do have a rich history of it. I mean, they used to play at the Redmond Building. We've had the Golden Eagles. Like, we have a hockey history. It's just, it's been a bit of a lull.
Right. We're a niche.
So I guess on that note, do you think we as a community are prepared for this task? And Ben and I have talked about, you know, things like sponsorships and that sort of thing. But I want to talk about, you know, potential fan base. You think we are an untapped resource?
100%. Especially if you look at like what happened with Las Vegas. And Vegas just blew up, right? They had 400 registered hockey players. Now they have 4,000 registered.
Wow.
That's just youth. That doesn't count men's league. That's how it's going to blow up here as well. I think the SEG is going to do a good job at building youth here. I know one time he was quoted as saying, you know, he wants to do the same thing for youth hockey here as the junior Jazz do for basketball. He's very involved in growing the game. I think people will go, the corporations are going to buy season tickets. They're going to go as a thing that they're going to do as a corporation fun event. And man, once you go to a live hockey game, you're hooked.
Yeah.
And if you got a team that is here every day and you're hearing about them on the news and you get to know them, you're just going to be hooked.
Can we talk about where we are just with this whole process? Like, this is the last game of the season for the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah.
Going to be an emotional game at
the
Mullet.
Expensive ticket right now, too.
I bet. Yeah, I mean, there's only 5,000 seats. That's how you get the money up. So what is happening tonight? Like, do we know what tomorrow holds for Arizona or Salt Lake City? Like, how sure are we of anything?
Personally, I am 100% sure that it's going to happen. If I know the ink isn't dry on the contract, I know a contract hasn't been signed yet, but I know it's going to be within the next 48 hours. I know everybody's anticipating a big press release tonight after the game. I highly doubt that's going to happen.
Okay.
I think you'll hear some stuff out of Phoenix, and it's going to be exciting because they know it's happening. I think the Board of Governors will probably meet within the next 48 hours, and we'll have a press conference on Friday or Saturday sometime, and it'll be a big deal, but it's coming. And I'm sad for Arizona. First NHL game I ever took my son to was the Coyotes game. It was amazing, but man, I'm pumped. I'm ready. I'm excited.
From an organization standpoint, how tall of a task will it be to be ready to roll by next season?
Wow, that's, how crazy is that, right?
That's like, wild. I can't believe it's possible.
You've got 4 months.
Yeah.
As a player, and you get drafted, and you're like, oh, I've only got 4 months to get ready for my first NHL season or whatever. Imagine, like, I gotta find a locker room. I gotta, You know, the thing about that I've learned talking with Ryan Smith and his group is these people, not only do they have vision, they immediately solve problems. And I think as soon as the potential, because, you know, he wanted expansion. He was very clear that he wanted an expansion team, and he thought he'd have that 5 years. I think the NHL came to him and said, can you fix this problem right now? Can you help us out? And he said, yeah, let's move him in, and we'll figure it out. And I think he figured it out. I think it's huge, though. Like,
yeah,
just
logistics alone is wild.
And, you know, you're going to lose money because right now some of the sight lines aren't great. You have 14,500 good sight lines and then a bunch of sight lines that aren't good in the rink. So they know that the money's not going to be coming in great at first, but I think they're going to pull it off. I can't imagine what it's going to look like behind the scenes. All the little pieces of, you know, sometimes we just move fire apparatus. We have to pull all of our equipment off one fire engine and put it on another. And we're like, oh, we forgot this little thing or a placard or a garage door opener. And now imagine doing that with a 30-year-old franchise and putting it in the Delta Center. Like, I can't imagine what it's going to be like, but I know that those are the right people, and it's going to be amazing.
Let's talk about the Coyotes themselves. As I've done my research, you can speak much better to this. This is like a cool young team. Like, yeah. This is not a disaster. You're not buying the Oakland Athletics that can't get out of the cellar. Like, they are on the upswing of the rebuild, and not just the beginning of it. Like, it's getting kind of close.
And it's funny because a year ago, people were so mad at the GM, Bill Armstrong. They're like, man, he keeps, because, you know, a goaltender gets really good and they dump him off, and because now he needs $4 million a year. And so they'll dump him. And for you basketball fans, that's actually a really huge salary in the NHL. So they're like, all right, this goalie's now good enough for $4 million a year. Get rid of him. We'll start over. So they draft again. They get more draft picks. And then another player gets really good. And they're like, nah, he's too good. Dump him off. Yeah. He can't be in our 4,600-seat building. So they've been dumping him off and stockpiling draft picks. I mean, you've got 7 first-rounders playing on the team right now. You've got another 7 in their AHL team. You've got their first-round pick coming up this year, 4 second-round picks coming up this year, tons of cap space. Yes, they missed the playoffs this year, but if the way that Smith Entertainment Group has seemed to have ran stuff, and if you know, just watching what happens with the Utah Jazz, I think they're just going to go right now, grab the talent that's out there, do some really good free agent moves, and I truly believe that we're going to be a threat next year. Hmm. I'm calling it we're. Us, the Salt Lake. Yeah. I'm already embracing the us.
I hope this question makes sense. So with the hard cap in the NHL, and it's different from the NBA in that way for yep. fans around here used to following that. The best run teams in the NHL, how are they usually run with that hard cap situation? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And do you know the drama with the Las Vegas Knights, the Vegas Golden Knights right now, and how they've avoided the salary cap?
No.
So the salary cap is the salary cap. It's not like the NBA where you get a luxury tax or Major League Baseball. Where
it's a hard cap.
It's a hard cap, and you do not go over it, and you do not go under the floor. Like, all the teams are competitive, and all the small markets have the same chance of winning the Stanley Cup. But the Golden Knights, last year, had 2 of their best players on long-term injury, which does not count against your salary cap. Mm. And then at the trade deadline, brought in good players. Again, this year, all of a sudden their top 3 players are on long-term injury, which they're legitimate injuries. I mean, Mark Stone had his gallbladder rupture.
Yeah, they're hurt.
Yeah, they're legit injuries. So, and then they go out and they get Thomas Hertl, who is the best player on the Sharks. They get Mantha, who is just an amazing big body boy. Like, he's just a great player. And all of a sudden, they have 3 more $8 million guys in the lineup just in time for their own $8 million guys to come back in playoffs. And that's how they made it last year. Tampa Bay Lightning did it before. But typically, I think that'll get voted out this year. That's not going to work anymore. But that's the only trick around the salary cap. Everybody else just has to play within that cap.
So as usual, it's the team that finds the loophole. and then take advantage of it until they close the loophole.
Hey, that's how you and I got our jobs. This is a loophole here that you and I have.
Hey, same. That's how I got mine. Yeah.
Okay, Jay, can you tell us some of the personalities that we need to be familiar with? You talked about Bill Armstrong. If you haven't heard our sister station in Arizona, he does a weekly hit with them. He's awesome.
Oh, really?
He sounds great. Yeah, yeah, he does a weekly interview with them.
Oh, he's...
is very candid. Yeah. Like, it's very cool. Who's the coach? Can you give us kind of some ideas of, like, the people we need to be familiar with if they get announced Saturday, Friday, whatever this is?
So, Clayton Keller is the first guy you're going to want to know about. He's one of their last draft picks, just a great Canadian player. Andre Turini is their head coach. Very good at developing kids, developing these 18, 19-year-old first-round draft picks. Right now running a system out of the 90s, and that's not his style normally. I think he's kind of adapted to having a lower cap. He's kind of been running this neutral zone trap a lot, which is kind of boring to watch. But that's kind of what you have to do when you have a lower salary cap team. But Clayton Keller... just a great United States-born player. He was phenomenal in the World Juniors a couple years ago, and just that's one name you're going to want to know. Nemelka, one of our goaltenders. We have two really good goalies, Nemelka and Connor Ingram, and a Canadian and a Czech. They've been phenomenal. It's really been hard to tell who the starter is.
Okay.
They've both been so solid this year, and they've been getting peppered, so they've had a lot of experience this year. And Nemelka's pretty interesting. You'll love interviewing that guy. He's pretty interesting to interview. And then Shea Weber. I don't know if that name means anything to you guys yet, but it will. Shea Weber's been around for a long time, a legend with the Predators. He's been on the Coyotes. He's injured right now, but he's got like a 107-mile-an-hour slap shot. Very entertaining off the ice.
Heavy on puck, that's what they say, Jake.
Heavy on puck.
Is it now?
Shoots a heavy puck.
He does shoot a heavy puck. So guys like that, you're gonna get to know a lot of them, and I imagine there's gonna be some really good free agent signings, and should be really interesting to see what happens.
107 miles an hour. What's the fastest one you've stood in front of?
It wasn't clocked. I was really surprised. I got the opportunity to a few summers ago. There were a bunch of NHLers that live in Park City, and I was practicing with those guys. And Rob Blake was one of them, who has a legendary slap shot. On my way driving up there the first time, I'm like, I cannot believe I'm going to stand in front of Rob Blake's slap shot. But it was Claude Lemieux. Claude Lemieux, okay. Who was not known for his shot, was literally putting welts on my... I left all welted up through my professional quality gear. It was one of the hardest shots ever.
I can't imagine thinking to myself like, oh, that sounds like a good idea.
Hey, Jay, most of our listeners have been to a Grizzlies game, and Grizzlies games are great.
They've
been fun to be a part of. What is the difference that they're going to see between the NHL and a Grizzlies game?
So, kind of the Olympic motto, they're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger, they make less mistakes, their decision-making is a lot faster. So your first couple games, you know, people complain about not being able to track the puck when it's on TV. When you're there live and it's moving that fast, there's a growing curve. You got to learn to follow that puck because those guys know where it's going before they get it. And it's fast. And that's the main thing is when you go and you see it live and you see, okay, these guys are big. You know, you got a big 6'6", 240-pound guy. It's pretty impressive. And I've said this a lot. Hockey is beautiful. Hockey is as graceful as you want to see it. If you look at them skating, and that part's beautiful. And if you like the violent part of it, hockey's got violence because those fast, beautiful skaters run into each other at 30 miles an hour, and then if you cross one of the unwritten codes, you're going to end up fighting. So those things, watching those live, people just love it.
Okay.
It's got something for everybody. It's one of the rare sports that really does have something for everybody.
We don't entirely need to go into the reason for me asking this question, but who would you say is the best hockey executive of all time?
Bill Armstrong.
I guess I'm going to say Bill Armstrong right now, but, you know, I'm forgetting his name right now, out of New Jersey that put all those teams together. Phil Lamoureux.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm taking notes. But it will Ben and I do a little contest that will be relevant for in our next segment, so that's why I asked you that.
Hey, Jay, one of the things I have heard that I am excited about, I'm curious if you can speak to this and if it's true, And I was listening to a fan podcast of the Coyotes, and they were saying one of the things that's really interesting. This guy had covered the NBA, had covered a lot of sports. He said the intimacy you can build with a hockey team and the players is different than other sports. Have you noticed that there is a stronger personal relationship between the players and their communities than the NBA? Because like you said, there's not as much player movement in hockey as there is in the NBA, where it's like every 2 years now you might have a totally new team. The Jazz have one player on their team from 24 months ago. Have you noticed that in hockey in the NHL historically, that players are A, around longer, and B, they build those types of relationships with their community?
Yeah, 100%. The core of the team typically does stay around a little bit more, and they are way more involved in the community. And I don't know what the reasoning is. You know, I know with the NHL, with NBA players, they're superstars, right?
Yeah.
Nobody can go around them, and they have a hard time going out and just eating and being left alone. But NHL players are less entitled, maybe, more grateful to be there. And a lot of us have to leave home at 14 and go live with a billet family and learn to play there. And then you learn right away, like, hey, I got to be a good guy, and I got to be involved with this family, and I got to be involved with this community, or my junior team's just going to cut me.
Mm.
No matter how good you are at the time, there's a lot of other 15, 16-year-old kids that they can just bring in to fill that.
Mm.
So as you grow up under that pressure and under the realization that playing pro is an honor, it's a gift that so many people don't get, that they're just more grateful. And then they get out in the community and they always try to do stuff. And it's not like the team going to them being like, all right, boys, today's the day, we got to go do this. It's like guys go out on their own and find stuff to be involved in and do it. I've known several, even Sidney Crosby. There are times that he'll just be in a town and he'll just go to the rink.
Huh.
And just pop in and sign autographs and meet kids and meet fans. And it's really cool. It's kind of a unique sport that way.
Well, thank you, Jay, for dropping by. And we look forward to you having you on the show all the time, man.
This is
going
to have to be a weekly thing. Yeah, we're going to have you weekly.
Oh, I'm excited.
You don't have to be in studio, but if you want to be, we'd love to have you.
And I feel confident in this, that you easily have the best mustache in the building.
Ah, thank you.
Like, number one.
I've worked hard at it.
I don't know.
I think I'm the only mustache, right?
Ben certainly isn't going to catch it.
Whoa!
I don't think I can either.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give him my best.
Take several years.
Yeah.
Hands grew some facial hair, but it doesn't compete.
No, he's not. I mean, come on now. But Jay, thank you very much.
Yeah, you're the man,
we
Jay.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. I'm excited to talk more hockey soon.
You bet. All right, stay tuned. What You Got Wednesday coming up next, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3, move it.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jacob Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Again, a big thanks to Jay Stevens, who joined us in the last segment, NHL Insider for KSLSports.com and the Puck Report podcast. And hopefully will join us frequently here on the Jake and Ben Show, because Jay's awesome. That was a lot of fun. I want to remind you to join Hans and Scotty coming up on Friday at Spa Treve in Highland, 5455 West, 110 North. Stop in and say hi. They'll be broadcasting from noon to 3. All right, it's What You Got Wednesday. If you're new to the show,
I'm not ready for this at all.
Ben and I do 2 5 selection drafts, one sports related, one not. And then we put the lists out for a vote. I haven't even looked. I think I lost big last week, didn't I, Sarah?
No, I think you won.
Yeah, you won both.
Both.
Did I win both? Oh, yeah, and I won big. Best current foreign NBA players, I won 83-17. Best fictional siblings, I won 61-39. Appropriate.
Yeah.
I mean, I really feel like I dominated.
Okay.
Although the first...
Happy for you.
The first pick in the foreign player one really made a difference.
Yeah.
Because you get Jokic and Doncic, and you got the Greek Freak and Joel Embiid. All right. What's today's sports-related topic there, Sarah?
All right. We're doing top five best GMs.
Ugh, this is going to be hard.
Ben has the first pick.
Is there, again, the go-to question, is there an obvious number one?
Not obvious, no.
Do you have a clear, like, you're waiting for this person to come off the board?
Yeah, I think I have a number one, yeah.
And we're kind of setting this from 1980 forward. We kind of agreed not to take this guy, but I guess, can I just take him? Red Auerbach?
Yeah.
Okay. We kind of both talked about, like, what's the cutoff for when this starts, because who cares who put together the 1940...
Buffalo Bills,
Minnesota,
yeah.
Capitals, or whatever. Yeah, I don't know. So I'm going to go with Red Auerbach. He built the 80s Celtics. Very famous on top of being the coach. He, you know, drafted all these guys and put them together. So I'm going to go with Red.
My number one, and this is a counter to yours, but I think he is the best executive of all time, and that would be Jerome West.
Okay, Jerry West.
You may know him as Jerry.
The logo. I agree. He's right there.
And he was in the Warriors front office building that. I mean, he's amazing. Built the Showtime Lakers, of course, is what he's most notable for, but feels to me like the best executive in sports.
So Jerry West, your number one pick. This is maybe the most famous of my lifetime, just because he did the unthinkable. I'm going to go with Theo Epstein. Built the Boston Red Sox when they broke through. I know they made fun of him in Moneyball, but... signing Johnny Damon is actually a good deal. That actually worked out for them really well. But put together some unbelievable teams and got the Red Sox several World Series. So Theo Epstein, my second pick.
Yeah, he's all right.
It helps to have a bunch of money.
No, I think, yeah. Well, then he did it. You didn't even mention that he did it with the Cubs.
Right.
He did it with the Red Sox, and then he did it with the
Correct.
Cubs.
He has repeated the process.
Yeah, he might be the answer. I'm going to do it that way. All right, Ben. I think I will stay in the NBA.
Daryl Morey.
No.
Your favorite guy.
No. No, no, no.
Not him.
I'm going to go with Pat Riley.
Okay.
He's been a great executive in Miami. Consistent.
Yeah, he's great.
Has done it with multiple teams, like didn't just have to have LeBron to win the title, but then convinced LeBron to come there, put that all together behind the scenes. Pretty amazing.
Pulled off the Shaq trade, right? That got them their first title, that kind of opened the floodgates for even to get LeBron to go there.
Like, Pat Riley.
And didn't give up Dwayne Wade to get Shaq back, which a lot of people would have been like, well, just do it. Just get Shaq. Well, you give up Dwayne, you don't win a title, and then you don't get LeBron.
Like, even his more minor moves, like trading for Ray Allen at the end of his career, like, that put him over the top.
There is no better player on the, or I should say GM on the planet, who has found, done more with less. I mean, they, as much as we talk about Miami being this destination, like, they get guys like Max Strus to turn into superstars. Not superstars, but big playoff performers.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go with the CEO of the San Antonio Spurs, R.C. Buford. R.C. Buford also has done that. Sure, it really helped to get Tim Duncan, but he also found Manu Ginobili, the last pick or second to last pick of the draft, drafted Tony Parker late in the first round, really put together a staff that could win around Tim Duncan for a long time, and they were relevant for so long and remain relevant. I mean, R.C. Buford is a Hall of Famer and all-timer. R.C. Buford with the San Antonio Spurs.
Okay, I feel like my next pick is going to be somewhat controversial, and I feel like it could either win it or lose it for me, but I'm going to go with Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Because he's been such a terrible general manager for, like, the past 5 years. Just, like, awful. Awful.
Yeah.
But to, you know, the whole Patriots way and all that thing to generate all those titles. And yeah. To Bill Belichick.
I think that's the right move. You can tell me if this is too far back. If you want to veto this, you can. I don't think it is, though. I'm going to go with Al Davis with the Raiders.
That's fine.
He put together those Raiders teams with John Madden to...
But, see, here, this is the same thing with Belichick, is he was so bad after that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, for, like, over a decade bad. But, yeah, that's legit.
Al Davis. I figured I needed to sprinkle a little little NFL in there.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, not Daryl Morey. Yeah, that's not happening. I feel like I'm like too NBA heavy. Maybe okay. I'm just going with what I know. Should I branch out is what I'm fearing here, Ben. How about I'm gonna go with Brian Cashman.
Okay. Huge. Yeah.
The longtime Yankee general manager, even though I can't stand the Yankees.
Helps to have a bunch of money, but yeah, he's done an awesome job.
Yeah, yeah. Hurts me to do it.
Yeah. My fifth, Sarah?
Wait, sorry, say that one more time. Who is Jake's
Brian
fourth?
Cashman.
Brian Cashman.
Which fits. He's the cash man. He's got all the money with the Yankees, and they can go and sign endless players, seemingly. And they do, every year. Good for them. But he's done a good job. He's kept that team relevant. In fact, they're leading the AL East as we speak. My final pick, Oklahoma City Thunder general manager Sam Presti.
He stinks.
He's done an awesome job. He has this team set up perfectly. He's pulled off some great trades historically in his career. He is very much a young Danny Ainge. He has done a lot of... He kind of followed, I think, the Danny Ainge playbook. It's funny. We say, like, oh, are the Jazz doing the Thunder playbook? It's like, the Thunder might be doing the Danny Ainge playbook.
Whatever. He traded away James Harden over, like, $5 million.
Sure, he's not been perfect, and that was an ownership issue, but yeah.
And completely submarined a title-contending team by doing that. And, not to mention, got blindsided by Kevin Durant leaving. I think those are two eliminating moves, in my opinion, for this particular discussion. But you do you. That's all right.
Okay. So I did. Who's your fifth pick? And I have.
Let's see. You know what, Ryan? Why not? I think he belongs on this list. I'll go with Danny Ainge.
Yeah, Danny Ainge absolutely is a great pick. In fact, I probably should have taken Danny over Sam Presti.
I certainly would have.
You might lose votes because there's a weird thing against Danny locally right now, but Danny's better than Sam Presti is. Right? Danny's won a title.
Yes.
He's pulled off more great trades. Yeah, I should have just taken Danny Ainge. I overthought that one.
I was also really heavily considering Ozzie Newsome.
Ozzie Newsome? Bill Pullian.
No.
Yeah. Bill Pullian's been a great general manager historically.
Yeah,
I mean,
whatever. He just caved to Peyton Manning single time.
Look, we want to talk about great team building. Jerry Jones in the 90s. Psychopath. Bad guy now. Like, bad at his job, but...
Not taking Jerry Jones.
But
I don't think that's the
point,
answer. Jimmy Johnson was more responsible for that roster than Jerry Jones. And thus is the age-old battle, right? All right, so you reset, Sarah?
Yes. Jake, you had one Jerry West, two Pat Riley, three Bill Belichick, four Brian Cashman, and five Danny Ainge. Ben, you had one Red... How do you say his last name?
Auerbach.
Two Theo Epstein, four R.C. Buford... Or three R.C. Buford, four Al Davis, and five Sam Presti. I probably would have added, that's just because I'm a soccer fan, but like Manchester's owner back in the day, Alex Ferguson, was a big deal during the David Beckham era.
If we wanted to get zero votes, we would have done that.
Wow.
Just for your listeners. Thank you, Ben. He was a big deal.
Yeah. No, you're right. We could have branched out.
All right. What is our not sports today?
All right, this one's fun. I'm excited to see your answers. We're doing top five best Kevins or Youngs.
Oh my gosh, I haven't prepared for this at all.
In honor, obviously, of Kevin Young being hired as BYU head coach, can either be the first name Kevin, even last name Kevin, I guess, if that's a thing, or Young in their name.
Okay.
I have the first pick again. I'll take it. Obvious front runner here?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
My first pick, Steve Young.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, I think that is the obvious front runner.
My first pick is his great-great-grandfather.
Great. You want to go that direction? You can.
Brigham Young.
You're not going to get any votes for it, or at least half of our listenership's not going to vote for you.
He only founded the... city where we live.
Oh, yeah, and the University of Utah and some of the newspapers and designed the whole town and got the railroad built here.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he's absurdly important.
Way more than Steve. What did that guy ever do?
Super Bowl MVP? 2X?
Not even close. Did he march? How many people marched across the prairie? Did he lead hundreds of thousands of people across the prairie?
Trillions.
I doubt it was that much.
Trillions.
How much was it?
Trillions.
All right.
Trillions of people.
You're up.
Number two, Kevin Bacon. Youngs and Kevins, we're going with Kevin Bacon. I'm a big bacon guy, not just the food.
Do I want to stay with Youngs or do I want to go with Kevin?
You can branch out?
What do I want to do? You know what? I'll go with Kevin Durant.
Okay. Solid player. Most overrated player in NBA history, but good player. Good guy. Ken, you know Kevin Young knows
it. What a lightning hot take that is. Most overrated player in NBA history?
Well, he is. But, yeah.
Well,
will you put that on the note? Ben says, most overrated player in NBA history. When you put out the graphic, put that in quotations under Jake's pick.
Just definitively said.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's right. Okay, let's see here. Kevin's or Young's? I'm going to go with Young Frankenstein, the movie.
Is the character's name Young Frankenstein? Then if not, then it doesn't count.
What do you mean it doesn't count? We're doing best Kevins or best Youngs.
Yes.
It's a Young.
That's referring to people.
No, we never said that. It's a Young. Young Frankenstein. Put it on the list. We're going Young Frankenstein.
I'm saying absolutely not. Sarah,
why not?
Because that's not the draft.
Well, you're talking name of people.
Yes,
that's the
we
name
are.
Of
when did
movie.
We say that? When did we say? We said best
that's
Youngs or best Kevins.
That was the idea
Young Frankenstein.
Of the
put
draft,
it on the list. Then change your strategy.
This
Pick
was
a Young.
My idea. It was people with Kevin or
we,
Young.
That's
the
not
names.
What I was laid out. We just said, and it's a name. Young Frankenstein is the name of a movie. I'm not backing off this.
It's not the name of a person.
I'm not backing off this. I'm not backing off this.
So you're saying Young Guns counts?
Sure. If that's a thing you want to draft
not,
and you think you'll get draft picks for it?
Not the draft.
Young Frankenstein. Best Youngs. It's a Young Frankenstein. We didn't see best people named Young.
That, yes, we did.
No.
Quite literally, when I set it up, that's exactly what we said.
Yes, Youngs or best Kevins. Young Frankenstein. I'm not backing off. I don't know what to tell you.
Sarah, you get to decide.
Don't put me in the middle of this. Well, we vetoed things in the past.
Yes.
I feel like this should be allowed to be vetoed.
Why? What's the explanation
It's
here?
The name of people. Even if it were a fictional character, there might be some debate.
Yeah,
but
if it was
not...
the name of the person in the movie, then, like, that's different.
It
but...
is. It's about the son, Frankenstein, or the great-grandson.
But the name
but
is
name's
not
Young.
You guys are no fun. You guys are the... What a wet blanket you guys have turned this draft into.
And?
Zero creativity. We can't be creative. We can't have fun with the show.
Nope.
Okay. So we're vetoing Young Frankenstein?
You got outvoted, dude.
Did we? Sarah, are you vetoing it?
I mean...
We're not having fun on the fun segment?
I mean, I just feel like we did names of people. That's all. If the kid's name was Young, then I would say it's good, but it's not.
Okay, fine. Kevin McAllister from Home Alone.
That works. That's a good one, too. I didn't even think of that one. I'm going to go with Angus Young.
No, doesn't work. Doesn't count. Is that his real name? I don't know.
It is his real name, I think.
There's no way it's his real name.
You don't think so?
Anyways, whatever. That's fine. It counts. The name is there.
Angus.
From,
From ACDC.
No, Angus McKinnon Young.
That's his actual name?
Yeah.
McKinnon.
Didn't even fake it.
Well, that's a good rock star name for it to be given to you.
Yeah, it's great. And very famous. Very iconic. Trying to get over Young Frankenstein. Give me Kevin Costner. I'm going heavy on the Kevins. I had a good Young mixed in there, but...
Costner is a good pick. Man, he hasn't made a good movie in a long time.
But Field of Dreams...
Oh, he had one of the great runs in like the what, Ben, late 80s,
early
90s?
It was awesome.
And then just fell off the planet. Did you ever see 3,000 Miles to Graceland? Maybe
no.
The worst movie ever made.
Hey, I just watched Bull Durham the other day. It's awesome.
How many is this for me, Sarah? This is 4. Okay. Even though I can't stand his music personally, I'm going to go with Neil Young.
Oh, I love Neil Young. Old Man is one of the great songs of all time.
Yeah, I'm just not into it. I get it that people like him. I understand why, but
I don't
not
love
my
all
thing.
His music, but he's got some hits.
I almost didn't name my daughter Maggie because of his.
Oh, okay. Are you guys going to veto this if I take Young Jeezy because now he goes by just Jeezy? Or does Young Jeezy still count?
I'm actually fine with that.
It's not his real name anymore.
Well, he was actually called that, though. It's not a movie. It's a person that was actually called that.
Okay, Young Jeezy, the rapper.
All right, my final one, I'm going to go with Kevin the Minion.
That's
ever
a good
seen
one.
The
I was
going to
say Kevin the Bird from Up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going with Kevin the Minion.
Great.
Look how bent Ben is.
That was kind of lame. What do we have, Sarah? You got a recap?
Yeah. So, Jake, you have 1, Brigham Young, 2, Kevin Durant, 3, Angus Young, 4, Neil Young, and 5, Kevin the Minion.
Okay.
Ben, you have 1, Steve Young, 2, Kevin Bacon, 3, Kevin McAllister, 4, Kevin Costner, and 5, Young Jeezy.
The draft.
There it is.
You got a good mix in.
We did.
Yeah. Good job.
Well, thank you.
I Ben, still would have taken Kevin the Bird from Up.
That's all right. Ben's still Ben over there.
Well, we're not having fun in the fun draft. God forbid we have fun in the fun draft.
That's not a name of a person or a character.
I will say Hatch walked in here and I explained the situation. He agreed with me and Jake.
That is not a vote of popularity for you guys. That does not help your case at all.
Stay tuned. We wrap up the show next. 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
Sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. 50 segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology in doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for a free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255. Peach Doors and Windows. Man, Adrian Wojnarowski has been busy, Ben. Breaking news about lifetime bans, breaking BYU coaching news yesterday. Here's the latest from Woj. Pelicans forward Zion Williamson is out for Friday's play-in tournament elimination game versus Sacramento and will be evaluated again in coming weeks.
If you are a Jazz fan, you are rooting for chaos. You want teams with star players and high salaries to get eliminated early. So while this is very bad for the NBA, these are the types of things you want to happen. Unfortunately, not injuries per se. But the Pelicans, having guys like Brandon Ingram, and look, I'm not saying I would touch Brandon Ingram personally, or Zion Williamson that could become available via trade because they are expensive and their team's underachieve, and general managers and owners get cheap or itchy trigger fingers and want to make deals, that's good for the Jazz. And the more of this that happens over the next 2 months, the better, and really the more that happens in the opening round of the playoffs, the better. So you want good, expensive teams to come up short with this second tax apron that's coming. That's just going to, it doesn't just hurt them financially with the, you know, the luxury tax you have to pay. It affects future draft pick status. You can't draft higher than like 30th in some of these situations. Like, it's really, really damaging. It makes it basically impossible to make trades to improve your roster once you're in the second apron. These teams losing is good for the Jazz, and I would put, unfortunately, the Pelicans in that conversation.
You don't like Ingram?
I think there's a lot to like about Ingram, and there's a reason he's never done anything of note.
Yeah, well, that organization kind of stinks.
Maybe.
I'm not saying that I think he's the number one on a championship team, but
in the right situation, he's helpful.
I kind of like the idea of somebody built like that next to Lowry, honestly.
And he's only 26.
Like, all of a sudden, if you had Lowry, whatever big, we could discuss what big is best next to Lowry. But if you're talking a big over 7 feet, making that assumption, maybe people assume it's Walker Kessler, maybe not. But a big with some size and a lineup that has a big center, Lowry Markkanen, and Brandon Ingram. And the great thing about Ingram is he could even be your two, arguing. I mean, you could have the biggest team. You could have the biggest lineup in the league, like, overnight. I love his size. He's got that Kevin Durant light feel to him where he's 7 feet tall and thin and can shoot.
He's never healthy.
He's never healthy.
64 this year, 45 last year, 55 the year before that, 61. I mean, talk about games. So he just never plays.
I get that.
So that would be my fear. Now, maybe he's miscast as having to be a number one guy, and that puts too much wear and tear on his body.
You were pretty definitive about it, so I was just curious. Because I like his game.
No, great. He's fun to watch. I always like the idea of Brandon Ingram more than the player, and I worry about guys like that.
Yeah, I get that. All right.
So,
I thought we were disagreeing on his actual gameplay.
But you look at other players on the Pelicans, too, that could potentially come available. You know, they've got the Trey Murphys of the world. They've got the Herb Joneses of the world. And I'm not saying those guys are available, but I had heard that the Pelicans did contact the Jazz before the trade deadline. Now, I think they were going after Lowry, and I don't think it got very far. But, you know, there have been phone calls already with the Pelicans and probably 29 other teams as well. It's not breaking news about the Jazz. But, you know.
Would you trade for Zion?
For the absolute right price, yes. I would not do a 50-50 gamble. Am I overpaying for Zion? You know what I mean? Like, I would probably be a little tight with my chips on Zion, just because he's always hurt.
Yeah, I know, but that, see, there would be tempting because he is, yes, always hurt, and I'm not sure his buy-in factor is particularly high,
yep.
But he's unique.
When it's
and
right.
And you know what unique? You know what wins in the NBA is unique.
Yep.
So that would be really tempting, I would think. But it would be one of those banger-bust things where there's really no middle ground. It'd either go really well for you or go south quick.
Yeah. And again, that's why it's like, is the Jazz have enough? I mean, Danny Ainge said it yesterday. He said, we want one or two guys, which means they want two guys. They want two guys to fit next to Lowry Markkanen to have a, you know, not a big three necessarily, but kind of the identity of the roster.
And then you go from there. Yeah, that makes sense.
Would I pay a huge chunk of my resources from that war chest the Jazz have to get Zion? You would very seriously consider it, but, like, is he your number one option? You could really, really find yourself in trouble if that's the case.
I gotcha, but he actually could be.
Yeah, he could be.
Whereas, I mean, to your point about Brandon Ingram, you don't think the ceiling is that for him. I don't either.
Well, right.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
The nice thing about Zion is he's one of the guys out there who could be a legit number one.
And there's only, like, five of those guys that exist, so.
Yeah, I'm with you.
That's why it would be tempting.
It's a gamble. But yes, he's the type of player.
But he doesn't stay healthy, and it doesn't appear like he has the motivation to do the things required to stay healthy. Like, what should his playing weight be?
Much less than it is.
Like 260, 270?
Yeah, probably something like that.
Which is still crazy heavy for a wing. But he's like 290, 310.
No, he's unbelievable. And that he can even do it at this size is crazy. And he's in much better shape now than he was. But yeah, you would need him to totally buy in.
And I don't know if he's going to do that. Yeah. He's busy with Instagram dates.
And then his body's got to cooperate on top of it. So those are all the gambles. But
that's the point. His body ain't going to cooperate. I don't know why I just used that word. Isn't going to cooperate. If it's at 310 pounds, that's just.
Yeah, it won't.
That's just physics.
Yeah. And if at this point he's not doing it, it's just, what's the goal here?
Shaq didn't get thinner.
No.
Because Shaq had the same problem, right?
Yeah. So. He's intriguing. But again, these players or these teams losing early and potentially, you know, they've still got to lose to the Kings and it's going to be a home game. And I don't trust the Kings necessarily. But yeah, those are the types of guys that may become available when their teams get eliminated early with owners that don't want to spend money. And the Pelicans are notorious for not liking spending money.
All right. Stay tuned. Hanson, Scotty G here. Coming up next, Jake and Ben. We'll talk to you tomorrow on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Thanks, Sarah.